Proverbs 16, verse 1, 3, and 9. Hear the word of the Lord. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The book of Proverbs is an interesting book in the Bible. It's filled with phrases that are hopefully rememberable, but filled with wisdom. So this morning we're going to look at three particular verses out of Proverbs 16 that all have to deal with plans. Plans are something that I think all of us are aware of, all of us probably have as a part of our lives. It's all something that we've been trained to have and to experience and to think through. Whenever there's something going on, there's usually a plan for that. How am I saying that, or why am I making that statement? Well, think about it. The simplest things in the world, even like a grocery list, is really a plan. It's a plan that you have when you go to the grocery store. These are the things you need, and then you write them down on a list and you pick them up. A job description. Many of us have jobs here or have had jobs, and any job description is a plan. It's a plan for what you will do at work. Every organization, the church is not any different, has bylaws, a plan, rules by which things are followed. They're a plan. Laws. Our cities have laws. Our states have laws. Our nation has laws. Those are plans. Plans on how people are to live and engage with life for one another. Most of us, when we go on vacation, have a plan on how we're going to pack the car or the camper so that we can fit everything in. Then again, we have things called blueprints to build houses or cupboards or buildings. They're all plans. I think you get the point. We have plans for a lot of things, don't we? And usually we have those plans because we want to follow through and make things the best that we can make them. Hey, even recipes are plans. When you're cooking. In life, we've learned that plans help us to have order so that we can succeed. I want us to think about plans this morning because, like I said, all these proverbs deal with plans, but it's also a part of human nature to plan. Let's look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "To man belong the plans of the heart." And then in verse 9, this is reaffirmed. It says, in his heart, a man plans his course. So people plan. The Bible's acknowledging the fact that it's human nature for us to make plans. Now the question is, what are we doing with those plans? Maybe you've heard this phrase before. Winning in life takes planning and preparation. That's something I learned from my high school basketball coach, Mr. Point. He knew that if we were going to win, he had to have planning and preparation take place. We as a team needed to plan, and we as a team needed to prepare. But he did that as a coach as well. See, the thing that made my high school basketball coach a successful basketball coach was he would look at who he had on the team. You know, in high school, you can't recruit players. You're not supposed to anyway. And you get who you get. And so every year, Coach Point had to come up with a plan for his particular basketball team to see what skills and abilities that those players had so that they could succeed. But he also looked at all the other teams that we were going to play. And he looked at what their skill levels were and what their abilities were, and he came up with a plan to counteract where they were good. He would match up the skill levels of the players on our team with the skill levels of the players on their team, and he would come up with a way for us to win. He spent a lot of time studying film. He spent a lot of time planning. He spent a lot of time preparing so that we could counter the other team's strengths. But here's the other thing I learned from Mr. Point. Not only did winning take planning and preparation, you don't win every time. As successful as he was as a basketball coach, and as much planning and preparation as he put into every athletic encounter that we had, we didn't win every game. You probably are aware of that. That we don't win every time. Even though we plan, even though we prepare, even though we put in our full effort, we don't always win because the best planners in life still fail. Just out of curiosity, how many of us here this morning think there's a way to plan and succeed every time in life? Anybody think there's a way to plan and succeed in everything in life? Nobody's raising their hands this morning. Because that's a fact. Our plans don't always succeed. Our plans sometimes fail. But good planning does sometimes lead to success. But sometimes it doesn't. How many of us here this morning have ever made a mistake? Well, now all the hands come up. It's good to see that your arms work this morning. We have all made mistakes. Even though we maybe are in the midst of the greatest plan we've ever had, we have made mistakes. Sometimes it's because we fail to follow through. Sometimes it's because we expect more out of ourselves than we're capable of. Has that ever happened to any of you? That you've expected more out of yourself than you were capable of? I know that's happened to me so many times in my life. I had this idea, this end result, this thing that I wanted to accomplish, but I didn't have the ability to accomplish it. I know lots of times I'll make a list of things that I want to do in an ordinary day, and I want to get accomplished and get completed, and I find out that I'm not able to complete all those things because, well, things come up, or I'm not as efficient as I thought I was to get all those things to happen in the order I want them to happen in. I know that's probably happened to many of you. There's also this fact that, hey, sometimes I just don't have the ability that I imagine I have. I know I've been building something out of wood once in a while, and I have this picture in my head of what it's supposed to look like, and then there is what it does look like. And I think I failed. And in some ways I have. I failed to measure up to the expectation that I had for myself. But the fact is, you and I live in an imperfect world, don't we? We make mistakes. We sometimes fail to get things done. We don't foresee everything. We aren't in control of all things, just some things. We sometimes just fail even to follow through. Stuff breaks. Have you ever had that happen when you're trying to get something done? Something just breaks and it ruins your plans. Things take longer than you expected them to take. How about this? Have you ever forgotten something? If I had a dollar for every time I forgot something at home and had to turn around about 5 steps from the door of the church and go back and get it and come back again, I just figured that's maybe God's way of trying to keep me thin. I just go back and forth. Sometimes we forget stuff. Sometimes we're in the midst of doing something and we forget a step, a critical, an important step. I know the girls, as they've been learning how to cook, sometimes they've forgotten an ingredient before in something they're making. I know when I was learning how to cook, my mom teaching me, I think one time I forgot to put in an important ingredient like baking powder in something that I was making, and it did not turn out and it did not taste good and it was flat. There was no leavening agent in it. We sometimes forget those things. But God doesn't forget. God never makes mistakes. Nothing unexpected ever happens for God. Good planning for you and I can't account for everything. But God can account for everything. Our Proverbs encourage us then to make 2 critical moves. And I want us to look at these two critical moves that our Proverbs encourage us to make. The first of these is this: commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. I want us to think a minute about our everyday life. The activities we engage in, the choices that we make, the values that we have. Think about that. What does every day look like for you? And all of those things that go into it. Are all of those things committed to the Lord? God's desire is to bless us, to guide us, to encourage us in life. You know why God wants to bless us and encourage us in life? Because we're His beloved children. I think about that as a dad. I want to bless and encourage my kids. Sometimes I do an okay job at that. Sometimes I do not such a good job, but I'm an imperfect father. Our perfect Heavenly Father, who never makes mistakes, who's the situation is never too big for, wants to bless and encourage us. Think about that for a moment. God wants to bless and encourage you. God wants to guide you and love you. And so when we know that about God, isn't it real easy to commit our way to Him? I mean, it may be really hard for you to commit your way to me because I could fail you. Absolutely. But God never fails us. And so why would we not want to commit our way to Him and follow Him and do what He's encouraging us to do? Because He wants to bless His beloved children. See, committing our way to the Lord means that we are seeking a new kind of life that we can only find in Christ. It means that we want something different than what our sinful world has to offer to us. It means we desire to rise above the set of circumstances that we see ourselves in and let God guide us in every way. Think about what it means to commit your way to the Lord, whatever you do. And how can we do a better job of committing our way to the Lord? You know, I can think of all kinds of ways I can personally do a better job of committing what I'm doing to the Lord. I sometimes try to do things on my own strength. And I find out very quickly that, hey, I'm not very strong. I may be strong smelling, but I'm not very strong when it comes to being committed to what I'm doing. I fail. I make mistakes. It's much easier for me to think about committing my way to the Lord and letting God take care of it. But it does mean some big changes in our lives, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The second thing we're told here in our Proverbs is this: while we may plan our course, the Lord will absolutely determine our steps. That's in verse 9. The Lord is going to determine our steps. I think in order for us to understand what this means, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge the fact that God is a sovereign God. He's in control of all things, and He absolutely knows all things. The other part of this is understanding that we naturally are drawn to determining our own steps, aren't we? We want to decide the direction we're going. We want to decide the things that we're doing. We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. But God determining our steps means that God is the one that's showing us the way in which we are to go. What that means for you and I is that we have to become good followers. Jesus came to show us the way to a new life. He came to show us the way to walk. He came to show us how God determines our steps, how we are to surrender to God and to God alone. And we have to understand how important it is for us to live into this new life where God determines our steps. See, if God shows us the way to go, then there won't be any mistakes. Now, I know all of us can relate to this fact that we've tried in our lives to determine our own steps. I want to share with you a story about my own life where I've tried to determine my own steps. It has to do with growing up. Growing up, I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do in life, other than be a farmer. When I realized that that probably wasn't going to happen for me, I then decided that I was going to become a banker, because that's something I knew. My dad was a banker. I thought, that's a good life. I can go to school, I can get a business degree, and I can become a banker. And I was intent on that. I went to Northwestern College. I took my business classes. I interned in a bank in Rock Valley. And I began to look for a job as a banker. I never became a banker. I applied at every bank that I could find in Iowa, Minnesota, and South Dakota, and I couldn't get a job. I couldn't even get a job being their janitor. There was no job opportunities out there for me. I was determined. I had the schooling. I had the desire. But I didn't have a job. So I had to take a job. I took a job painting houses. Learned how to paint houses and glaze windows. And I did that for a few months until it was too cold to paint. And then I had to find another job. I got a job working for Diamond Vogel Paints in their paint store selling paint. That was not my dream job. I got paid so little that I had to choose if I wanted to eat tuna or macaroni and cheese. The two of them together would have cost too much for me to eat. Then I decided, well, I need to have a different kind of job, and so I started working for a vaccine company. Again, not engaged in what I wanted to do, but learning all the way along. Finally, I got to the point where I decided it's time for me to surrender my life to God and let Him determine my steps. And I began to listen. And God began pushing me in a direction that I never thought I would go. And other people never thought I would go. Up until the day that Mrs. Dykstra, our former pastor's wife, from Primgar, who her and her husband were in Primgar for 13 years, the first 13 years of my life. Up until her dying day, she lived to be quite elderly. She was in her upper 90s. She'd look at me when I go talk to her and she said, "I can't believe you're a preacher. I never would have guessed it." Me either, Mrs. Dykstra. I wouldn't have guessed it either. It wasn't my plan. See, in life, we often have plans, and we try to determine our own steps, and we try to go the way that we want to go. All along, the Bible is teaching us, no, we need to listen to God and allow God to determine our steps. As God determines our steps, we begin to see the joy that exists. And I see this in people all the time. I meet farmers, and I see the absolute joy they have in what they do, because God is determining their steps. I meet teachers who enjoy teaching and encouraging young people, and they're excited about what they do, and I see how God is at work in their lives, and God is determining their steps. I see people in all kinds of roles and in different places, and I see the joy that's present in their lives, and I see that, and I say, God is at work in determining their steps. True joy comes when we are living in the direction that God is calling us to live in, instead of going in the way we think we should go. And God will take us in all kinds of directions, because He'll see us and He'll see our gifts and He'll see our abilities, and He'll put us in places where we will succeed where we never thought we would before. Commit your plans to the Lord, and He will determine your steps. And He will bless you. We need to make these two critical moves that we see before us on the screen, that we need to commit to him whatever we do. He needs to be Lord of everything in our lives, and we need to allow him in his sovereign capacity to show us absolutely the steps we need to take and the way we need to go. And we'll find ourselves then living our lives in an absolutely new direction. But it does mean total surrender. It does mean that the freedoms that we thought we had before, we have to give up, and we'll find newfound freedoms. Because God knows every one of us, and he knows every one of us fully. And as he determines our steps, we'll begin to see the freedom that exists. I like this analogy because it's so real to me. Have any of you ever seen cows in a pasture before? Alan, you should be raising your hand. And the pastures are huge, right? But where are the cows normally? Right up by the fence, right? And they're stretching their neck out through the fence, trying to eat the grass that is just on the other side of the fence, right? And they push and they push and they reach and they reach. And they got all this grass behind them, all this freedom behind them, but all they see is the constraint that is in front of them. This fence, I can't get what I want. Why do we live our lives like that? God gives us all this freedom that's behind us if we allow him to determine our steps. But we're just like that cow, reaching and stretching and trying to get something that we ought not to have, that isn't ours for the taking. When God gives us so much more, we need to learn to be content. But in contentment, we find true freedom. In contentment, we begin to see that as God determines the path that we take, we will no longer fail. God gives us the opportunity to live a new kind of life, an abundant kind of life, the one we hear about in John chapter 10. But all we have to do is be willing to lose the life that we're currently living. We need to learn to leave the answers up to God. That's our next point. We need to learn to leave the answers up to God. How many of us believe that God wants what's best for us? There's many of us that believe that God absolutely wants what's best for us. If God wants what's best for us, why is it so hard for us to leave the answers up to him? Why is it so hard for us to yield our will to his will? We have to understand, the Proverbs is teaching us, there's nothing wrong with us having desires in our heart. That's absolutely good. But we have to also understand that God's desire for us is a perfect desire. It's a blessed desire. And we also have to understand that if we put everything in his hands, then our plans will succeed. That's the message of our proverb here this morning. And who doesn't want success? Anybody want to know the key to success this morning? Maybe there's a lot of young people out there that would like to hear the key to success. Proverbs 16 has the key to success for us. I mean, listen to I'm going to read those three verses again. To a man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Look again at that verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Does that trip anybody's trigger this morning? Do we latch on to that, boy, if I just commit my way to the Lord, then I'm going to have success? There's some key elements to this. It's not just saying, okay, I'm going to commit my way to the Lord. It's really committing our ways to the Lord, meaning we give up control. We say, okay, these were my plans. This is what's on my heart. But I'm giving that over to you, Lord. Take me and use me. Take me and guide me. The plans that we have that will succeed, That's the promise we have here in our three Proverbs, but it requires surrender. It's a desire that everybody has to have their plans succeed, but our plans no longer become our plans when we surrender them to God. Now we're looking for God-driven success. And that's not the same as worldly success. In fact, God-driven success empowers us to be able to put treasures in a new place, in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal. What becomes important to us are not the things that we find in this world, not piles of money, not piles of things. What becomes important to us is the effect and the opportunities that we have to bless other people in our world to be used by God in some way, shape, or form in the place that God has put us. And we experience true joy and great peace. The key to success is surrendering to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you alone know what's best for us. You alone have our best interest at heart. In all of the troubles, trials, and struggles of life, show us, Lord, how to live better for you. Show us, Lord, that the key to success is not big dollars, fancy cars, big homes. The key to success is living for you and valuing heavenly things over earthly things. Lord, help us to see that the key to success is to walk with you each day. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.